God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who comes to our rescue. Not just once, but every time. Every time we call, you answer. So God, we just thank you this morning for sending your son as the ultimate rescue mission. Sending your son to save us, all of us. God, we thank you. In our lives, truly may you be glorified. May you be lifted high, higher and higher and higher, until all the world knows, until all the world hears, God. Use us. We love you. Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone online. You're looking good today. But for real, good morning. This is week 3 of our Advent series. Pastor Dave got us started in week 1, and he talked to us about hope. And then last week, Pastor Jenna did week 2, which was peace. And this week, week 3, we're going to talk about love. Isn't that sweet? I have been praying and thinking about this for a long time. Because love and Jesus, they're so hand in hand, they're like one in the same, right? So much so that it can sometimes feel stale. Jesus loves you. I don't think that that's new information. But I'm pretty sure even if you're like me, then maybe the first verse you ever even memorized was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you that he gave his son Jesus as an act of love. As Pastor Jenna talked to us last week, this season of Advent is one of remembering and expecting. The word Advent actually means coming. So this season is one of preparing for the coming of Jesus. Remembering and celebrating that Jesus came in the form of a baby, but also preparing for him to come again. Okay, so when I was a college student back in Michigan, in the summers in between, I was a summer camp counselor, and it was awesome. Like, if that was when my call to youth ministry was affirmed, because it was insanity, and I still loved it. You know what I'm saying? And so I worked as a summer camp counselor, but going into it that first summer, I didn't really know what to expect. I had not been to camp as a kid or as a teenager. I don't know why, but I didn't. And yet here I was about to jump all in as a camp counselor for 10 weeks straight. New students coming and going. It was about to be crazy. And so as I'm preparing, I was packing and I was praying. And I was asking, okay, God, I'm going to do this. What do you got for me? And the words he gave me were, love like crazy. Lindsay, I just want you to love like crazy. And what that meant was love God radically, like just obsessed with him, you know, and to love others, because I was going to get a new group of campers every week, like 7 to 10 new young people who I had never met before. And I was just to love them like crazy. And the people I was working with, I was to love them like crazy. So this little phrase, it went beyond my summer camp, and it became kind of like my life motto. To the point where my friends, everyone knows, a love like crazy, that's Lindsay's thing. If you were to come into my office here at the church, on the wall, in big script letters, it says, love like crazy. This is what I strive for. I have by no means figured it out, but it's my heart intent to just love like crazy, all right? But as we think about what it means to love like crazy, there are essentially two different definitions to the word crazy. There's uninhibited devotion, and there's mental psychosis, right? And obviously, I was leaning towards uninhibited devotion and passion for God and the things of God, but sometimes our uninhibited devotion to God can come across as mentally deranged or psychotic. Like, let's be real. Has anyone heard the song Jesus Freak by DC Talk? I don't even care. Jesus Freak. Do we know? Where are my Jesus Freaks at? Come on. Okay. I tried to get the band to do that song this morning, but Ashley said no because Pastor Dave wasn't here to do the rap. And we all know if there's going to be a rap, we want Pastor Dave to do it. Am I right? Come on. Yeah. Well, John the Baptist, this guy is the perfect example of what it means to be a Jesus freak. This dude was a Jesus freak before Jesus was even born. He was a Jesus freak before he was even born. But we'll get to that in just a minute. John the Baptist was so uninhibited in his devotion to God that he did appear to be a little crazy to the people around him. I mean, he lived in the wilderness. Like, by choice, he spent some time living in the wilderness. And so there was an uncivilized way about him. He wore camel hair for clothes, and he had a diet of locusts and wild honey. And I don't know exactly what the attire and the diet was back then, but the fact that it's mentioned in the Bible that this is what he did tells us it's like not normal, you know? He was also just super zealous and passionate. Like, his fervor and love for God, it could not be contained. Plus, this was the guy who broke the 400 years of silence. So there were prophets, right? And God, like, after the Exodus and the Israelites, God did all these amazing things for them, but they kept, like, veering off the path. And then God would raise up a prophet to be like, yo, come back. And so these prophets would constantly be speaking God's message to wayward people to try to bring them back into God's will for them. Okay. So there were these prophets, and they're one at a time, like, just so many messages. And then 400 years of silence, 400 years, no prophets. Just hanging on the messages that had been spoken in the past. But then comes along this wild, untamed caveman, John the Baptist, with a powerful message to share. John the Baptist, I might refer to him sometimes as JB. JB, John the Baptist, was a forerunner. So the word forerunner, we've heard it before, and I'm not talking about the car that Toyota makes that's so popular, like, it feels like everyone and their mother has that car right now. They're just so cool. I'm not talking about that kind of forerunner. I'm talking about the forerunner that is defined as a person or thing that precedes the coming of someone or something else. Also defined as a sign or warning of something to come. So someone who precedes the coming of something else, a sign or a warning of something that is still to come. So there are three forerunners that we're going to talk about this morning. First, as I already mentioned, John the Baptist. John was Jesus's forerunner. We're going to get into the Bible. Are you ready? We're going to go into Luke 1. And Luke is one of the four gospels. The gospels are the good news about Jesus. So in Luke chapter 1 is when John first kind of enters the picture. But first, let me give you a little context. So there's Mary. She has like a meeting with an angel. An angel comes and tells her that she's going to have a baby. Even though she's not married, Mary, you're going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit's going to give you a baby. And you're going to name him Jesus. Okay, and then the angel tells her, also, your relative, Elizabeth, who we believe is like a cousin, she's pregnant in her really old age, and her pregnancy is 6 months ahead of yours. Okay, so that's where we're at in this story. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child, JB, leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." I just think that story is incredible. At the sound of Mary, the mother of Jesus' voice, fetus JB jumped for joy in the womb. Like little baby fetus was already working as the forerunner. One, because he was 6 months older than Jesus, so he legitimately came first. But two, he was already knowing and expecting the importance of what was coming. And then between John's little womb flip and Mary's story about what the angel had told her, then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She's overwhelmed in that moment because of what she's witnessing. JB's little womb flip is, in many ways, him sounding the alarm, a sign of what is coming. Well, now we're going to fast forward 30 years. That was my fast forward sound. I don't know if you caught that. Fast forward 30 years, and we're going to read what Mark says in chapter 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." So Mark is prefacing the introduction to John the Baptist with ancient prophetic words given to us by the prophet Isaiah. Mind you, so there was the 400 years of silence. This is here. Then there's 400 years of silence that was before that. And Isaiah is probably a couple hundred years before that, even when he was a prophet. And so he gave these words that foreshadowed the fact that John the Baptist was going to come and he was going to be Jesus's forerunner, who was going to make way for the Messiah. And then in verse 4, "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Take note of what John says in verses 7 and 8. "After me comes." After me comes the one more powerful than I. Then he says, "I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." Even John's form of baptism was a forerunner to the baptism that was to come. The baptism that we know is with both water and Spirit. Water as a symbol of the new life we're given through Jesus. The old is washed away. We have new life through Jesus by way of transformation in the Spirit, right? John was Jesus's forerunner. Jesus is our forerunner, and like the forerunner of all forerunners. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So this is written after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. When Jesus died, it says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It gave us access to the Holy of Holies. It gave us access to God's presence. We no longer have to wait outside the curtain. You see, the way that it worked back then is that the temple is where people would gather to worship. And so people would come, but there was this sacred space called the Holy of Holies that people were not allowed into, except for the one high priest, one time a year. That's it. This Holy of Holies, that's where God's presence resided. And so the high priest would bring the burdens and the sins of the people one time a year to be forgiven. But as Jesus entered into death, he became the forerunner for us to enter into life and life eternal. Jesus made a way for us to enter in, to know and experience the presence of God, to bring our burdens and receive forgiveness whenever. He opened the curtain, inviting us into right relationship with God, and he blazed a trail into an eternity in heaven. That's why the birth of Jesus is a big deal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This was an act of love to go before us, to conquer death on our behalf, to make a way for our salvation. He is our forerunner. Okay, are you guys ready for this next part? I need to hear that you're ready. Are you ready? Okay, so we are the forerunners for his return. There's a parable in Luke 19 where Jesus says, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I'm gone. So the master is essentially saying, do my work until I come back. Well, there are three servants that Jesus talks about specifically in this. And then the first servant took the money and then made 10 times that amount, okay? And then the second servant took that money and then made 5 times that amount. But then in verse 20, we read that the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. Because of the way that parables work, this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus knew that he had to kind of help create pictures for people to understand the depth of what he was actually saying. And so what he's actually trying to communicate in this is, okay, guys, I'm about to give you the greatest gift ever. I'm about to give you salvation. Take it. Do my work until I come back. But how many of us can be like the third servant? Wow, this is a really great gift. I better just hide it and keep it safe. I'm saved. Jesus loves me, but I'm just going to keep that to myself. This is my truth, and that's your truth, and that's okay. I'm just going to take my salvation and stick it in my pocket. It's for me. No, this is the truth. This is salvation that is offered to everyone. So we have to take this incredible gift that God gave us and we have to get to work multiplying it and making heaven a whole lot more crowded. We are the forerunners, preparing the world for the return of Christ. He came, and he's coming. And so we have to be people who love like crazy. As John the Baptist sounded the alarm for what was coming up behind him, we have to love others enough to sound the alarm, letting them know what is still to come. Pastor Dave often says that we need to be people who outlove the enemy's hate for others. That's what I'm talking about when I say love like crazy. I'm not talking about passive, ignorant love that blindly just accepts whatever the culture deems as acceptable. I'm talking about a biblical definition of love, one that is spurred on by our uninhibited devotion to God and his ways, that we appear a little mentally deranged because it's so countercultural to what is happening in the world around us. I like it when you talk back, so feel free to do that. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it does rejoice whenever the truth wins. Yeah? Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. JB, he lived this out. He didn't care that people thought he was crazy. He was determined to outlove the enemy's hate for them, motivated by his uninhibited devotion to God. John was Jesus's forerunner. Jesus is our forerunner. We are the forerunners for his return. He came and he's coming back. And we have a role to play. We have a path to pave. We have to sound the alarm. Look at what is happening in the world right now. The fear, the desperation, the manipulation, the division. The enemy is trying so hard to put a muzzle on the church. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you. But John's message, it was clear in Matthew 3:2. He says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We have to repent of our sins. That bad habit, that addiction, that negative spirit, that distraction, or that thing that you are able to justify, but the reality is it's getting in the way of intimacy with Jesus and you just need to get rid of it. Repent and then turn. Turn to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on things above. We can't be forerunners for his return unless we're walking on the narrow path. God has entrusted us with this opportunity to blaze the trail, leading people straight into the love of God. And this is so important because the kingdom of God is near. Guys, it's not far away. The kingdom of God is near. Like that should make our hearts flutter a little bit, make us want to sit on the edge of our seat because the urgency, you know, like it's just, oh, the kingdom of God is near. It's near. Jesus is coming. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm sounding the alarm because Jesus is coming, because the kingdom of God is near. He came and he's coming back, and we, God entrusted us to be his forerunners for his return. How cool is that? I think it's cool. In this Advent season, he's saying to us, here is this gift of hope, of peace, of love, of joy, of salvation. Do my work until I come back. Do my work until I come back. Y'all, we have got to get to work. It's time for the revival of the Jesus freaks. Yeah? Come on, guys. It is time for the revival of the Jesus freaks, people so devoted to God that we stand out, that we are set apart, that people think, oh, she crazy. Yeah, you better believe I'm crazy, crazy in love with Jesus. The kingdom of God is near, but what does it mean? What does it look like? What does it look like to love like crazy? It looks like being patient with your kids, like overly patient and gracious because things are crazy right now. Or in some cases, it looks like being patient with other people's kids. I'm just saying. It may just not being jealous of what you see on Instagram. Or maybe you need to delete Instagram or other social media because you're realizing the impact it has on your mind and on your heart. Sometimes it's just being kind to the people at the grocery store, the other people who are maybe uptight or fearful or just straight up grumpy. Or maybe it's looking the cashier in the eyes and saying, thank you so much. I know that this is crazy for you, but thank you for what you're doing so that we can get our groceries. Simple things, loving like crazy. It's being humble and eager to listen. Not listen to respond, but listen to understand, because people are hurting. And they're looking for answers, but they're not gonna find them unless we listen first. It's not keeping score with your spouse. Oh, well, he did that, so I get, It's being heartbroken about the injustice that is happening, but advocates for the victory that is found in God's truth. It's persevering, holding on to hope, and enduring 2020. We're almost there, but then 2021, guys, I know. Enduring every circumstance, no matter what God throws our way. And it's about making the good news of Jesus known to the world. This is love. This is preparing the way. This is being a forerunner. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. He will come. Whether we multiply what he's given us or hide it, well, can we just agree to not find out what happens if we hide it? Can we agree to that? God, we just thank you so much. We thank you for who you are. And God, we just want to praise you this morning because you sent Jesus to be our forerunner. You sent Jesus to be our forerunner, and now we get to be forerunners for his return. And God, we live in a world of people who so desperately need you, and we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of making heaven more crowded. And so, God, we just thank you for entrusting us with this call. And we thank you that you love us so passionately and so radically and so crazily that it is out of that love that you have for us that we can love others. And so, God, we just want to give you praise this morning. Because of what you did through Jesus, because of the crazy things you're still gonna do, and because you've entrusted us to be a part of your story. So God, we are going to praise you this morning because you are good and you are worthy. Amen.